I write a lot of monk stories because we're going through an incredibly interesting evolution right now. I think a lot of my work kind of reflects this shifting world.
The play is very good. I enjoy it. I learned about the life of a monk woman. It seems more difficult than I would think it would be.
It was wonderful, very detailed, and it does really explain a lot about our lives and what we go through, too.
My name is Mei Li Yang. I am a writer, performance artist, and teaching artist. As a writer, I write in a lot of different genres. Most people probably know me as a playwright. And as a teaching artist, one of the things I often do is I work with young people as well as senior citizens, and I work with them to create original work around issues they care about. My cultural background is actually a huge part of my work. I was actually born in Ban Binai, which is a Thai refugee camp. And then we came to the United States when I was 9 months old. Technically, I'm a first-generation refugee, but I've lived like a second-generation kid. I grew up in a time in the 90s where a lot of Hmong people hadn't had the ability to tell their own stories. You know, people of my parents' generation, older, didn't have access to education. And when we came to the United States, most of the Hmong stories were being collected or being mediated by non-Hmong people, right? So I grew up around a group of writers, people like Mai Ning Mua, who really stressed the importance of us telling our own stories in our own voices.
Well, I mean, there's the stereotype that Hmong people, especially old Hmong people, are supposed to stay home and just babysit.
One of my alter egos is the lazy Hmong woman. There is a stereotype about what a Hmong woman should be. So when I was growing up, people kept telling me Hmong women are supposed to be quiet or have long hair, or they must know how to cook or clean or do all of these things. And that wasn't me. Throughout my whole life, people told me I was lazy, and I was. You know, I hated doing domestic work. But when I told other Hmong women this, they kept asking me, how is it possible that you could grow up as a Hmong girl in the 90s, right, and be lazy at the same time? So I decided to write my own story. I did the Hmong language version of Confessions of a Lazy Hmong Woman. Usually, if you see me on stage, I'm playing a version of myself, some kind of persona, whether it's the lazy Hmong woman or the bad porn star or whatever. Even within the Hmong community, we think that we're all monolithic, and we're not. Because I make a living being a bad Hmong girl. The Hmong name is Balai. I became an artist, which is kind of weird, different, right? I talk about cultural clashes. I talk a lot about misogyny in my writing. I use humor to talk about microaggressions, and I even did a show called 10 Reasons Why I'd Be a Bad Porn Star. These are all markers of bad girls. It's much easier to live in this skin than attempting to be a good girl.
Another reason why I'd be a bad porn star, I am an activist. I do not go around protesting at rallies, but I am socially conscious. If that makes me a passive-aggressive activist, so be it.
One of the things I'm really excited about this year is that I'm collaborating with Theater Mu, and in August 2018, they're producing a play of mine called The Korean Drama Addict's Guide to Losing Your Virginity. It's a comedy, and then a different project I'm working on is this past year I received a grant from the Loft, a literary center's spoken word immersion program. I'm working on what I'm calling part one of the Dead Hmong Women Project, which is really using poetry to talk about domestic violence within the Hmong community. When I was 18 or something, I wrote a lot of stories about being caught within two cultures. And in a lot of ways, even now, 20-some years later, I'm still writing about living in this cross-cultural place. But the kind of stories I'm telling are different. Our community has changed so much.